All right. Let's get it.
I'm a man in the house, purposely. I'm a dad and a spouse. I could break about all the cash in the count, but none of that amounts to the fact that your boy is the man of the house.
Welcome or welcome back to the Man of the House podcast. I am your host, Jason Tyree. I am a husband of almost 18 years and a father of four. I think I'm going to dig a little more into that in a few minutes. But first, if you are listening on streaming platforms, what's up with my lighting? Come on, lighting. Let's get it together here. Wow, I was dark for a second. First of all, if you're listening on streaming platforms, thank you. Continue to like. Well, can you like on like Spotify? I guess you. The most important thing on streaming platforms is just spread the word. Continue to spread the word. If you're watching this on YouTube or Facebook, thank you first and foremost. Spread the word as well. Subscribe. Matter of fact, let me put the ticker down at the bottom so y'all can see. For those who are watching, you can see the ticker. For those who are not watching, it says follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at the Tyree Fam. I have been posting episodes on my personal Facebook. I appreciate those who check there. It seems to garner the most views and interactions, and that's great and all. I'll probably continue to do it, but I'm really also trying to build up the channels for the Tyree family pages and accounts. And so if you could also check there as well, because I don't know how much longer I'm going to keep posting these on my personal accounts. Because again, at the end of the day, I'm trying to grow the other channels. But, you know, for the time being, you can still see it on my personal page. Anywho, let me turn this ticker off. As you can see, for those who are watching, or for those who are not watching, you clicked on this episode and you see the title, Let's Stay Together. And I keep thinking of Al Green. I'm not going to sing it. I almost wanted to sing it, but I'm not going to sing it. But that's a jam. That's a cut. I'm not going to go on a rant because I was about to say, they don't make music like they used to anymore. Then I'm sounding like that old fuddy-duddy on the side, just ranting. Don't want to do that. But anywho, episode 17. I'm recording a little later than usual, but still consistent. I gotta stop doing that because every time I do that, my camera just, I don't know. We'll fix it. I'm not even worried about perfection or anything right now. Yeah, so I guess I'll give an update, a real quick update. For those who are who've been following me from episode one, you've been on my journey as well, as far as my mental health and the things that I've been going through. I am in a much better place. And I think the stage that I'm in now is I want to get back to dreaming again and having visions and goals and plans and stuff. What is going on with the lighting? Sliding is a nightmare. Maybe I was just too close. That was just bothering me. I'm sorry, guys. That's what it was. My camera was too close. Like I was saying, I want to get back to dreaming and having visions again. when you're going through a real terrible depressional bout, the last thing you think about is plans and goals and visions and dreams and all that. Like, you just trying to survive. And so I don't beat myself up too much, because it's like, all right, I got to get back to square one. And I feel like I'm at a good place now to where I can say, all right, what's next? And so that's going to be a challenge to kind of get back into it, but a challenge that I hope will pay dividends and really get me to start visualizing and dreaming. I used to dream all the time, man. I used to have visions all the time, like, okay, this is where I see myself in 5 years. This is what I'll be doing. This is this, that, and the third. So I want to get back to that. There's a lot of things that I want to get back to. And I believe within the next couple of months, that's going to happen. And so I'm excited about that. I keep forgetting how old I am. For those who don't know, I'm 42. And this is literally the first age. I've been through 41 plus birthdays. And like I said, I'm 42 now. And this is the first age that I've turned that I keep forgetting. What is wrong with my lighting? That's going to bother me. So anyway, sorry, if it keeps doing all of that, I'm going to just let it rock. Yeah, this is the first age I keep forgetting my age. I keep thinking I'm 41 and I'm not. It's like, no, you're 42. You're actually going to be 43 this year. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Like, my brain hasn't registered this age yet. And this is the furthest I've gone. My birthday was in December, guys. It is April. I didn't get the thumbs up. Anyway, it's April right now. My birthday was in December. I still haven't gotten used to this age, but I don't know what to make of that. I just wanted to bring it up. Anywho, let me get into the topic at hand. Let's stay together. My wife and I, we have been attending a marriage small group at our church, and we've been attending it for quite a few years now. So we're not new to this. But it's been a blessing, because as a couple, you're still learning each other, and you're learning about marriage together and how to coexist. I would strongly suggest that every married couple go to some sort of marital counseling or marital retreat or marital class, small groups at your church, whatever. And that's not to say, I think a lot, it has a connotation when you say, oh, we need marital counseling. It doesn't have to be reactive. You can proactively go to these marital counseling sessions, because it's better to have preventative maintenance than to have, oh, well, our marriage is in shambles, let's go. And there's room for that, and that's what most people kind of use it for. But when things are, you know, quote unquote, going well or decent, it's still good to go. It's still good to attend these marital events and counseling sessions or whatever it may be. Something that can help add to your marriage, something that you can learn and grow. Take, they have this thing called love languages. I think it's good to take these assessments and kind of get an understanding of, oh, this is how my wife sees things through her lens, or this is how my husband, he hear things a certain way because he, you know, have this type of attribute about him that I didn't really know until I took this assessment. Assessments are cool. Now, you don't have to be so super defined by the assessment saying, well, you know, I'm just this type of guy. You see it on the paper. That's just going to be me. You're going to have to deal with me. No. However, I think it's a very useful tool to gain understanding of each other. So I would advise that as well. But this marital small group has been just great because, you know, we're learning together about certain nuances that we may not catch, like communication, like use the term thugging it out, but just persevering through trials and tribulations, learning how to be there for, you know, a person. Like, it's not going to be all peaches and cream. Like, there may be one person in the marriage who's going through a mental depression. How do you navigate through that and help your spouse? Or anxiety. How does their spouse help out, you know? And so I think it's important, you know, being married for coming up on 18 years in May, there's still so much improvement that I can do, that we all can do. I'm not just putting it all on me, but we haven't even scratched the surface, is what I'm saying. And we're almost 18 years in. One of the things that I've noticed in regards to marriage is that, especially in this season, I've been so either work busy or mentally busy that I've kind of not really been around my wife as much as I need to be. And that's something I noticed. And I'm like, man, even if I'm working on something, I can be around her more. It's kind of tricky because we both at times like our space. And I said at times, my wife is a movie buff. I don't watch movies at all. But that's where the compromise can come in. I can at least still be in the same room. We don't have to say anything. Just being around, talking more. I have to. I'm going to keep saying this to myself. I have to get better at dating my wife. That has been trash. I'm not even going to lie to you. It has been trash, but I'm grading myself on a curve during this season because, again, I've been dealing with mental depression and things like that, and I'm getting better. And so I'm not going to beat myself up as much as I would in the past. However, still, I can be dating my wife more. And so, yes, that is a goal of mine, to improve in that area. The benefits, though, of being around each other, especially if you have kids, we have to work as a team because sometimes our kids be like, well, I know I'm going to get a no from my dad, so let me go ahead and ask mom. And kind of sweet talk her into it. We've gotten a lot better because they used to try to find a loophole in the whole parenting thing. and used to catch us off guard. I'd be like, "What? Where did the boy go?" "Oh, he said that, you know, he wanted to go to such and such." And I'm like, "He shouldn't be going over there. He need to be at home doing homework." "Oh, well, he told me." "Yeah, I know what he told you. He told you enough to get out of the house." So, you know, it's just being on the same page with that. One thing I will also advise, and this took a while, and we're not perfect at this either, but sometimes the kids will present something in front of both of you, or you'll catch them trying to find a loophole in something, and you address it. If something comes up where the two parents aren't on the same page, take that conversation away from the kids. Take it away from the kids. Because if they see y'all going back and forth, if they see the mom and dad going back and forth saying, "No, well, I said that he could go out there. No, he shouldn't be going out." If they see that, then they'd be like, "Oh, they're not on the same page." And they'll play that like a fiddle. They would. So, and plus, it's also good to have these conversations away from the kids so you're not embarrassing the other party. Because nothing's worse than getting corrected by your wife in front of your kids. Or vice versa. The husband is out here correcting the mom in front of the kids, because the kids are going to be like, "So this other parent really don't run nothing." So having a united front against the kids, which is funny saying against the kids, but against the kids, they slick. And what's funny is we were slick. We was kids once. We knew how to maneuver around. So come on now. And they have a stronger advantage. The technology has expanded in the past 20, 30 years. So anywho, I just think it's important to learn as much as you can. And another thing, I had a conversation with guy at my church. I don't want to say too much because I don't think certain things have been broadcasted. But one of the things, now that I'm thinking about it, do I want to say it? I'm debating. Yeah, I'm gonna hold off on it. I don't want to say anything because, again, I don't know if I have the permission to say what I want to say. However, I'll say something similar. For those who are parents or want to become parents or want to get married in general, there's this thing in society that's like, "Oh man, I can't get married because I'm not ready." Or, "Oh, I can't have a baby right now. I'm just not ready." What I'll say to that is, you're never going to be ready. You're never going to be ready. You're just going to have to jump in the water at some point. Now, there are certain things that you want to have, and, you know, you want to go about certain things and have certain things established. But even with some of those things established, you're still not going to be 100% ready. Prime example, like if you've been dating for a while and you're like, well, I want to get married, but I don't have the job, or we don't have the funds yet, or da 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 da. I think the best thing you can do is have a conversation about that and come up with, all right, I know I don't make enough now, but this is my vision. This is where I see me moving up and doing certain things, or doing all that I can to make sure that we get to this level. Because what tends to happen sometimes is you can make all the plans in the world, get that great job, and all of a sudden and be like, oh, I'm ready to get married. Y'all get married. Things are going fine for about 2 or 3 years. Then boom. Company out of business. You without a job. What you gonna do? Besides, you know, apply for another job and stuff like that. But hiccups happen. You stay married long enough, all sorts of stuff happens that you didn't plan for. It just happens. That's why I say there's really not a such thing as being ready, having a child. Especially if you're married, what you gonna do? Y'all going, you know what I'm saying? And then, ta-da, I'm pregnant. What you gonna do? Now, not gonna get into the specifics because, yeah. But a baby's coming. And y'all saying, I don't know if I'm ready for a child. Things happen. And there's no such thing as, oh, well, I think I'm ready to handle this. Because everything is temporary on Earth. Everything is temporary. Once you leave Earth, that's when stuff is permanent. But everything's temporary. So you being ready is you being ready for that moment. But that doesn't account for 10 years down the road, 15, 20 years down the road when things change. Some people, best shape of their life, they get married. Ooh, we're so young and vibrant. 5 years down the road, an accident could happen. Paralyzed. Cancer. Sickness and health. Death do his part. You said the vows. Now you're living out this marriage from a completely different vantage point of it was when you was engaged. So my major thing is go to marriage counseling, or for those who aren't married yet, premarital counseling. Talk often so y'all know where both of you guys are. And if y'all are both in agreement and y'all feel like, you know what? I want to get married, but I don't know. Da, 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 da. I'm not saying get married irresponsibly, but if you pretty much know that, yo, what are we doing? Like, we want to marry each other. Learn and grow together. You know? That's not a general thing, though, because there's certain circumstances. I know y'all was like, dang, he's struggling. Certain circumstances and certain situations that, you know, it's like we literally just cannot get married right now. I get that. I'm not sitting here saying, bump all your problems, get married. That's what Jason said on his podcast. No. I'm saying, if you evaluate your reasons and your reasons is just merely nerves and I don't know if this is going to work because job or something that's fixable, I don't know, man. I would just, at some point, you're going to have to jump in. But don't take my advice 100% because I am not a licensed anything. I'm just a man who's been married for 18 years. And when I was engaged, I was like, you know what? This is where I see myself. And 2 years down the line, once we got married, actually, I take that back. When I got married, all the plans that I envision us and worked out probably up until year four, that fourth year of marriage, a lot of things just, I did not plan for it at all. I didn't plan to be without a job for a year. We didn't plan necessarily on having three kids in the first 4 years of marriage. And that was crazy. Imagine having three kids under the age of three or four. Three kids under the age of four with no job for almost a year. If you would have told me that when we were engaged, I would have been like, "Eesh, we not ready." We not ready. But it happened. We stuck together. We got over it. God blessed us and kept blessing us. And we are in a place that we couldn't even have imagined while we were engaged. If you would have told me when we were engaged that we will be where we are now, I don't know, man. Couldn't have seen it. So the beauty of it is we stuck together as a unit and we grew together. And God just blessed our union and blessed our family. And here we are. So I hope that it pans out for the rest of you guys who are in marriages. For those who aren't in marriages, because I know a lot of times I'm speaking from the standpoint of a married household. There's single parents out there that's trying to figure things out. I'm praying for you guys as well. Keep pushing, keep moving forward, keep growing. And I hope you guys continue to have visions and dreams, or start having visions and dreams of how to better your life as well. So that's all. I did not expect or plan for this episode to be as long as it did. But yeah, I'm an advocate for marriages and family. I feel like it's dying out in this society. But, you know, that's just me. It's not just me. I'm sure other people are out there advocates for family, right? Got to bring families back. Anywho, thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you guys have a great week. I will holler at you guys next week. And yeah. Peace out. I'm a man in the house, purposely. I'm a dad and a spouse. I could break a boat on a cash in account, but none of that amounts to the fact that your boy is the man.